Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Season 6, Episode 1 of March to Madness, not on the Overtime Sports Network. The Overtime Sports Network is D-E-A-D, dead, but we are still here pumping out college basketball content on a bi-weekly basis. I am your host, Kyle Gagliardi, and usually I'm joined by two of my good friends, but tonight it's just me and Zach Nickel. Nickel, how the hell are you?
Doing well. Just getting over a little cold, so I might sound a little nasally, but I'm ready to go and I'm ready here to talk college basketball.
Before we went live, it sounded like you were congested, but that was just audio issues. But thankfully, we got that all worked out. I know you just got back from a trip from Florida. Did that have anything to do with your sickness?
It might have. It's just a bad stuffy nose. There's really nothing else wrong with me. Just got the stuffy nose, and it's that time of year, so...
Shit's going around here in Northwest Indiana. If you did not know, we are Indiana boys, IU grads, and we typically start off every single episode talking about the Hoosiers, so we definitely are going to have to do that. Unfortunately, I feel like we say that a lot, we have to talk about our favorite team, but let's start here, Nickel, because we haven't had the opportunity to talk to these guys. Obviously, this is episode one, but... going into the season, before anything tipped off, where were your expectations at with this Indiana team?
Kind of like, hey, we have probably to replace 90% of our scoring. Not really expecting too much, but I think they had enough talent on this team to potentially be probably middle of the pack of the Big Ten standings and potentially, you know, get a 10 or a 9 seed of the tournament and kind of maybe ride that bubble line all the way until March. But I still expected them, just with the talent they have on this roster, to eventually make the tournament, but you know, not do too much in Big Ten play. So that's where my expectations were before even games even started this year.
I think that is probably the majority of the Indiana fan base, and granted, you're going to have your people that are optimistic and some that are pessimistic, and for obvious reasons, at least the history says that the Indiana Hoosiers aren't that successful of a basketball program. We obviously know the history and the passion that is a part of that fan base. So I, on the other hand, I did not have high expectations. Usually I'm the one here that is optimistic about Indiana, but you talked about it. You said 90% of our scoring we lost?
I think it was something like that. I think it was one of the highest, if not the highest, in the Big Ten, so...
and especially in Big Ten play, that's going to be an issue going forward. Yes. When you don't have those veterans to rely on. But the Hoosiers have opened up their season against some weaker non-conference competition. Obviously, they opened up with Florida Gulf Coast. They ended up winning that one 69-63. But correct me if I'm wrong. I believe I saw somewhere that this was the highest ranked, at least net-wise, opponent to open up the season for Indiana in the past decade. Like, Florida Gulf Coast was around 160, 165.
I wouldn't be surprised, because usually, a lot of those first games are, you know, teams that are ranked at bottom of their respective conferences that are in the, you know, the lower tier conferences. So, Florida Gulf Coast, you know, is a well-known, but definitely a known school, especially on their, you know, tournament run back in 2011. They call them Dunk City.
It's been that long since that run.
2011. So, you know, they're known minor, you know, mid-major conference. So, I wouldn't be surprised if that stat was true. I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
It would be nice if we had a stats guy on our show or something. Weren't we supposed to have one of those?
I think so. I think we're supposed to have one.
Yeah, Josh Deacon is a father of one, and he's got his hands full. So he will be, you know, here this season sporadically. Obviously, we do this, or we try to do it every other week, but you'll hear from him on occasion. He'll be pumping in some stats for us, so we appreciate him helping out. First season doing so, we went 5 seasons without having a stats guy. We just did it all at the top of our noggin. I think the last time we talked to him, though, Nickel, was that the episode that we did at Scott Angels? That was, right?
I think so. I think that was the last episode we actually did last year. I don't think we ever came back actually during the tournament.
No.
Last year, at least. So, yeah, I think it was our March Madness preview.
And this was the first March Madness, or I should say last year's was the first. Oh, no, it was this year. Yeah, this year's March Madness was the first year, technically, that we didn't go to Las Vegas, I think, in the last 4 years, too. So it was a different feel for us.
It was a different feel, definitely, for sure, watching the tournament. That was my first time except for, you know, the COVID year that where we didn't have a tournament, that I was over 21 and was not watching in Vegas. So yeah, that was a little weird.
Instead, we had to resort to gambling on DraftKings, which might have been, you know, more friendly for our wallets. Because when you're in Las Vegas, as we know, going into next year, we will be going to or returning to Las Vegas for the first round tournament action. So I'm looking forward to that. But Nickel, you didn't get to see any of this game against Florida Gulf Coast, correct?
No, I was pretty much looking off the score app every 20 minutes or so. That was when I was in Florida. But I did watch the highlights of it on YouTube. So I got a, you know, at least glimpse of how we kind of looked in that game and, you know, what I saw, what I liked, what I didn't like, stuff like that. So,
and a lot of those things that we didn't like carried over into game number two, where the Hoosiers barely snuck by Army, who are one of the worst college basketball programs out there. They won at home 72-64. And we talked about not having, you know, much expectations for this Indiana team. But after seeing these two performances and knowing how much we lost, have the expectations sort of gone down for you? Or are we going to go through another embarrassing season of Indiana basketball?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of leaning that way, which is never good, just because, yeah, it's only been two games. But to see what they did in the first game and then just carry it right over to a team against Army at home, I think they're going to have a little bit of growing pains. They are somewhat of, I wouldn't even say a young team, but a very, very new team. So I'm hoping as time goes on, you know, things will kind of start to click for them. But right now, I would say my expectations have lowered a little bit just based off those two first games. And I, right now, I just don't feel confident going up against a actually, you know, really good team like we will probably, you know, we'll see here this coming Sunday. So I would say they definitely lowered after seeing the first two games.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And I think that's saying a lot knowing me and my optimism, like we talked about a little earlier. But would you rather point out the negatives, discuss the negatives, or do you want to touch on a few positives that we have noticed from Indiana first?
I mean, we could probably go for the positive first just because I think there's fewer of them.
All right, what's the one that stands out to you the most after two games then?
I would definitely say, you know, Khalil Ware looks confident. I know, you know, he's the transfer from Oregon. Was not a starter at Oregon. He was a top 10 recruit going to Oregon. Didn't live up to
the hype. I did not know he didn't start. I did not know that.
No, he had, you know, he came off the bench, only averaged, I think, a little over 6 points a game last year for Oregon. So he decided to enter the transfer portal. I know a lot of people that were coming from the Oregon program saying that, you know, he didn't put in the work. He didn't show the effort. So that's why he kind of didn't get the playing minutes and stuff like that. But he has the talent. And I know when he came over to Indiana, Mike Woodson pretty much sat him down and said, hey, you know, I'm going to ask you to do these things and you have to try here. You got to put in the effort. I believe in you. You know, let's just get this thing done. And I know it's against, you know, Army and Florida Gulf Coast, but he's actually looking the part right now. You know, we needed to replace Trace Jackson Davis. It's hard to do that, but, you know, Khalil Ware, he definitely, you can see he has the NBA talent that he was projected to have when he, you know, came out of high school. So that's definitely one of the positives I've been seeing so far.
Yeah, and I think Malik Renew is a good complement to Khalil Ware's game. We've seen that in their presence down below. Like you said, though, obviously they're not facing big teams. So you're going to face these bigger and better squads coming up, like you said, Sunday. But that's definitely one of the positives is Khalil Ware. But I want to highlight a guy that's been coming off the bench as of late, and that is Gabe Cupps, the freshman. You know, we talked about Gabe Cupps a little bit last year, and, you know, we knew he was a little bit undersized. It looks like he hit the gym this offseason, put on a little bit of muscle, still a smaller guard, especially when we get into Big Ten play. But when you watch Gabe Cupps on the floor, he just looks like an Indiana basketball player. And this is a guy that, you know, the late, great Bobby Knight, I think, would be a fan of. You know, just the way he plays defensively, the intensity. He's up in people's faces. He's not afraid to shoot the ball. That's going to come along. I have no worries whatsoever about Gabe Cupps and his ability to shoot. We've seen him, you know, shoot the lights out against LeBron James. We saw that viral clip in 2014 when he was a young kid, you know, playing with Bronny, but I love the way Gabe Cupps has looked in these first two games. I'm sure you have as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I know he was kind of talked about a lot, you know, in high school last year when IU already recruited him, and a lot of people were saying he was kind of under-recruited. But yeah, I like his game. I feel like he has the confidence already. Like I said, I know it's already been two games, but seeing a lot of confidence out of him. You know, and he's actually, you know, after these last few games, this is kind of going into the negative portion of things, but he's looked better than our top 10 recruit, in McBaco. So, yeah, I like Cups. I think he's going to be a great Hoosier. I'm hoping he could, you know, bring us quality minutes and everything for the next 4 years.
Yeah, and that's a guy that you can build around going forward, too. Obviously, we know now that IU is going to have Liam McNeely, a five-star recruit, next season. It's going to be fun to see what he can do with some of these guys that we have right now. But that's probably all of the positives, or at least some that we have seen from Indiana. Let's touch on the negatives, and I think they're very obvious. And this is a lot of stuff that we have seen in past years as well. The turnover issue. I think that is a staggering high number, especially against a team like Army.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that comes with how they're all playing each, you know, with each other for the first time. There's a lot of new faces on this team. You know, we have four new starters. I mean, you could count maybe only three with, you know, Xavier Johnson coming back from last year. But, yeah, it's just I feel like I'm hoping those turnovers will minimize as time goes on, just so they start, you know, playing with each other a little bit more, because you could just see, you know, against Army and what I've seen against Florida Gulf, you know, Gulf Coast, they just didn't look in sync. A lot of people standing around, didn't know where they needed to be. You know, a lot of lazy passes, a lot of passes that they think a guy's going to be there, but they're not. And it just carried over into that Army game for sure. And it was just a lot of turnovers. And that's why Army hung in for so long, is because of the turnovers. Army wasn't even really shooting that well as a clip, but they just had so many opportunities because of all those Indiana turnovers.
Well, and they also had a lot of opportunities, a lot of open looks from beyond the arc. You know, they hit 10 three-pointers, and they're not known for shooting, but that seems to be a common trend. A random non-conference inferior opponent comes in and shoots the lights out against Indiana. We see it every single year, just like we see, you know, the struggles on the glass, rebounding. I feel like with the size Indiana has, this has to be one of the bigger teams they've had in the last couple of years.
Sure.
But they're still not crashing the glass, and that comes back down to just basketball fundamentals. That's coaching.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, think Renaud down there. You know, he's a 6'9", big body guy. I feel like he just is not on the board a lot. You know, Khalil Ware, he's a skinnier guy, but you're 7 foot. You know, you're overtowering all those guys. And Army, you know, out-rebounded us, which just can't happen. I mean, because when you play the Kansases and the UConns and the Auburns, they're going to kill you off the board if you cannot rebound against Army. So that is something that really needs to be fixed and needs to be fixed right away.
Not only are they going to rebound, they're going to rebound and they're going to run it. They're going to gun it. And I don't think I've seen that transition defense from Indiana quite yet. But that all goes back, I think, to what you were saying, inexperience. You can see it on the floor with the veteran Xavier Johnson. He looks visibly frustrated out there. Like, you could tell that it's not all there right now for Indiana, and it's not going to be for probably a couple more weeks.
No. And, you know, XJ, that's actually, you know, another positive we could have. He pretty much kept us, you know, winning against Army at halftime just because of his play in the first half. You know, he's a six-year guy. He's an experienced guy. But he's gonna have to take charge. He's gonna have to lead this team, because there's a lot of new faces on this team, and they're just gonna have to try to put it together over the next couple months.
Yeah, somebody's got to be a leader, and I think that's definitely going to have to be Xavier Johnson. We talk about the, you know, tough opponents they got coming up. It's not gonna get any easier for Indiana. But I do want to ask this before we move on: are you a little concerned about the depth of Indiana? You talked about a guy, Mackenzie Mbako. You know, we got him. He was a 5-star recruit, I believe, correct?
Yes, he was.
5-star recruit.
In the country.
You got guys like CJ Gunn, who have been in the program now for a year, getting some minutes, and transfer Anthony Walker. There seems to be a lack of star power coming off the bench for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, someone's going to have to start. I feel like I've been saying this the last 3 years. I honestly thought going into last year, we'd probably have some depth. We end up not having it. And I kind of expected this year, by looking at it, that it was going to be an issue. So I'm not really surprised on that aspect. But, yeah, you know, you have Peyton Sparks. He's a backup center, Ball State transfer. I feel like once he gets a little bit more involved and gets more settled, I know he missed the first game because of injury, I think he will be fine. But, yeah, you got to have guys like CJ Gunn, Caleb Banks, and then, you know, Mbako, who right now is starting, but it looks like Cups is getting more in the minutes right now. especially come doors end. But you need those guys to step up, you know, and I like Cups, you know, stepping up because we don't have especially a lot of depth at the point guard and shooting guard positions. So, yeah, that's another thing to watch. It looks like the bench is just not getting it done right now.
They are definitely not an upcoming. They got Wright State on Thursday at home, and then they take on the defending national champion UConn Huskies on Sunday at noon here in the Central Time Zone. I'm not going to lie, Nickel, I'm very worried to watch that game.
Yeah, that's, you know, UConn, they really haven't played anybody yet, but it looks like they are killing all the teams they've played so far. They were, you know, a top 10 team going into this year after winning the national championship last year. They're very, very physical, have a good, you know, good coach in Hurley. So, yeah, I am not really looking forward to watching that game. Because I just don't think they're ready for it. You know, they only have one more game against a, you know, so-called, you know, mid-major kind of warm-up bye game. And I just don't think that's enough time because, UConn's going to come in and they're going to be hungry for, you know, the repeat. And they're going to be physical. They have a good defensive team, good shooting team. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at it in a positive way, if there's any year to be tested in non-conference, I think this year is a great year to be tested. You're going to force Indiana to figure things out quick. You know, going up against the defending national champions, you talked about Auburn, you talked about Kansas, and then you still have top teams that are in the Big Ten that you're going to have to play not once, but twice in a hostile environment. So these non-conference games, they might not be pretty, but it might build some character from them. I guess we'll find out. Hopefully the chemistry comes together eventually. But like we said, Nickel, not high expectations coming from March to Madness here.
Yeah. And then that, you know, that game they have against UConn, that is technically a, you know, four-team tournament. So they'll play the winner of Texas and Louisville. Now I'm assuming, you know, my prediction is IU loses UConn, and Louisville's a worse team than IU. So I think they're going to lose to Texas. So hopefully IU will play Louisville, and that kind of will get their spirits up a little bit, playing a high-power conference team that is worse than IU. So,
what a fall from grace for that program.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, we were talking about them in the national title picture for almost a decade, and now they are literally one of the worst teams in college basketball. It's insane.
Yes, yeah. Kenny Payne's going to be holding on to his job right now because, yeah, Louisville is not good whatsoever.
And I don't know who would be able to step in there. We know Rick Pitino ain't coming back as he's now the head coach of St. John. Yeah, so, I think that's about all we got for now on IU Talk. For those of you that don't care about IU, sorry, get used to it. This is how we start every podcast. You're just going to have to deal with it. But let's talk about all the other action that has been going on recently. And we'll go back to last Friday where Arizona went into Cameron Indoor Stadium and upset the Blue Devils 78-73. Filipowski had 25 points in this game. It just wasn't enough to win. When you watched this game, because I know you did, what were some of the biggest takeaways from Arizona? Because it's not an easy task to go into Duke and pick up the W.
They played physical. They played physical basketball. They weren't fazed by going in the Cameron Indoor, you know, going in front of the Cameron Crazies. They were ready to play. They were really well coached. You know, Tommy Lloyd had them ready. They just physically outplayed Duke. I feel like Duke didn't even play that bad. It's just Arizona matched their intensity and just took it away at the end because that was a tie ball game going down to the stretch. And then, you know, Arizona sealed the deal. So, but I was actually kind of shocked about it because I think Duke's a really good team this year, especially with Filipowski coming back. He's a stud. Jeremy Roach, Proctor, they're all, you know, good point guards, good shooting guards. So, but Arizona had their number. So I was actually kind of shocked about this. You know, Cameron's a hard place to play, but Arizona got it done.
Arizona's been one of the most consistent programs, at least over the past 5 years. What they are doing there, they definitely got something special going on. And we see a lot of the talent get drafted and move on to the next level as well. Yeah. I'm sure there's a couple guys on this team that we'll be seeing on the NBA stage, but you talk about Duke. Obviously, I don't think anybody's panicking about them. That's going to happen. You know, good teams are going to lose here and there. It's just surprising it happened at home. Duke, you mentioned the three names that came back. That is huge for them going forward. Massive. And you have a guy like Filipowski who's, I believe, 7 foot, but can also stretch the floor. Mm-hmm. I would still keep an eye on Duke. This seems like a national championship level team. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I think they definitely have the talent. Like you said, you know, Duke usually doesn't have, you know, don't have those guys coming back. So they add their star freshmen plus with those three guys that we just mentioned, and you would think that, you know, they have to be up there for a national title contender. So, you know, it was a hard-fought game. I like I said, I really don't think they played that bad. Arizona just had their number on that night, so I'm not really too worried about the Duke Blue Devils.
I think you had Duke in that game too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I took them first half because I thought at least, you know, they would probably cover, you know, come out guns a-blazing.
Start strong at home.
And so I took them for the first half. So, yeah, like I said, I was shocked Arizona won that game.
Yeah, that was the one college basketball bet that I've actually won this year. We're not going to talk about the other games that I've lost, though.
And Caleb Love has Duke number, by the way. He switched teams, went to Arizona, and still won in Cameron Indoor. So Caleb Love, I think 3-1 against the Blue Devils now in his career. So
home away from home there. It's really only down Tobacco Road, so it's not like he's far from where he spent most of his collegiate career. But, yeah, he had a classic game, you know, 4-for-13 shooting, wasn't it? Something like that.
I think it was like 3-for-10. He had 6 turnovers, but he made clutch free throws down the stretch. So that's a Caleb Love game right there.
Yeah, and that's all that really matters if you're making your free throws late in the game. So Arizona, definitely a team to keep an eye out for. But a team that's really surprised me is the Michigan Wolverines with their 3-0 start, most recently defeating St. John's at Madison Square Garden. And they had Texas Tech transfer Namari Burnett score 21 with Doug McDaniel adding an impressive 26-point performance. They were shooting the lights out in this one. Are you surprised to see how well Michigan has played so far?
Yeah, a little bit, just because, you know, you lost Hunter Dickinson. He went, you lost Jet Howard. He went to the draft. So I really didn't know what to feel about this Michigan team, just because they had some transfers coming in. You know, a name you just mentioned, Burnett. Also, Oliver Nukuma from Tennessee. He averaged 10 points a game last year for Tennessee, but he's playing well right now. So wasn't really too sure how Michigan was going to do, but they're starting off hot. You know, they beat the two teams they needed to beat, and then go to St. John's, play at Madison Square Garden, and handily beat them.
There's two sides of the spectrum. A team that is inexperienced, getting a bunch of transfers and struggling, but they're 2-0, the Indiana Hoosiers. And then there's a team with a bunch of transfers that look outstanding, and the Michigan Wolverines. And that might come down to coaching, you know? Like, you might hate the guy, but Juwan Howard's a good coach. Well, and I know he didn't coach. I know he didn't even coach in that second game too. I want to put that on the record.
Yeah, he had heart surgery, so he hasn't coached at all this year. God, I forgot the guy's name. I don't want to.
He's a legend, and I feel
he's
bad.
Older guy, older coach, but he has them playing hard right now. And I know Juwan Howard, I think, is supposed to make his comeback here in the next week or two, I believe. So we'll see if that even has a, you know, has any effect, you know, with Juwan Howard not coaching.
You know what I just realized too. Michigan football and Michigan basketball played this week with interim head coaches.
They did, yes.
This one didn't cry and give a shout out to Jim Harbaugh for passing away. So in this, his name is Phil Martelli. You know, he's a legend in college basketball. So kudos to the Michigan Wolverines. It's going to be interesting to see how they progress as the year goes on. But another team in the Big Ten, our arch rival, the Purdue Boilermakers, went in this season with high expectations. You have the National Player of the Year, who is probably going to win that again this year. Maybe somebody else emerges. But we have to talk about their start so far, because nobody, and I know they haven't played, you know, a very good team yet, but nobody has competed with the Purdue Boilermakers so far.
No, you know, their best test was last night against Xavier. I know Xavier is without Zach Fremantle. He's one of their best players this year. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. They lost to a 16 seed. You know, they're kind of have the same chip on their shoulder maybe Virginia had, you know, back in the 2018-19 season when, you know, the next following year after Virginia loses to a 16 seed, they went on and won the national title that year. So Purdue's going to be scary good this year, I believe. I think they're more deep. I think they're going to spread the ball out a little bit more. And I think, you know, second-year players, Fletcher Lawyer and Brendan Smith running the point guard, I think since they're not freshmen, they have another year under their belt, they're going to be even playing a little bit better. But, yeah, Zach Edey, You know, he's a beast. He's hard to guard. You know, it's hard to guard a 6'4", 6'7", whatever, or 6'6", 7'6", whatever he is. I don't even know, but he's tall and he's hard to guard and hard not to foul. So Purdue's going to be deadly this year, I believe.
Do you know the name of the transfer number 55?
Lance Jones. I believe he came from Southern Illinois, I want to say.
Yeah, and I think he averaged around 13 points there.
Yeah, he's actually playing really well. This was a guy, I think he averaged like 15 or 16 points with Southern Illinois, you know, coming from a small conference. Really didn't know too much about him, but I've been seeing him in a couple of these Purdue games, and he looks like he's comfortable playing Big Ten play so far, or with those Big Ten guys. So, yeah, he might be an X factor for them for sure.
I definitely think he is. His ability to stretch the floor and run, he's athletic as hell. I think he gives Purdue a different dynamic. You know, we know they have Zach Edey down below. We know that their guards are capable of playing well, but yeah, maybe he's the guy that takes him to the next level. And maybe we can even have former guest of the show, Sasha Stefanovic, on one of these times. He is now, I believe, a grad assistant there coaching at Purdue, and maybe we can have a conversation with him at some point in this season. So stay tuned for that. But that was about all I had that happened in the past. Is there anything that has caught your eye in the first couple weeks other than what we had talked about?
Not too surprising. I know maybe actually one thing that's actually kind of surprising is Maryland's already lost two games. You know, that was a team that a lot of people projected about the fourth or fifth spot in the Big Ten, and they brought a lot of other guys back from last year, and they just haven't lived up to the hype as of now. So that's something to watch out for if you're a Big Ten fan, is Maryland is not starting off too hot.
Yeah, and we might talk a lot about the Big Ten, but that's mainly what we're watching since we're IU guys. So that's just how it's going to be for most of the year. But let's go to some upcoming big matchups that are happening literally here in a half hour. So when you are listening to this at a later date, these games already happened. But tonight we have two top 25 teams squaring off for looking for a bounce back win as Duke takes on Michigan State in the Champions Classic, while number 17 Kentucky faces off against the top seeded Jayhawks right after that game. Let's go to Duke, Michigan State first. Both teams coming off a loss. This seems like a Duke bounce back spot to me. I know the line's set at -3.5. What you think?
Yeah, I think Duke's hungry for a win after, you know, slipping away from Arizona at Cameron Indoor. I think this is taking place at United Center. I think it usually is. It might have switched this year, but it's the Champions Classic. It's the same two team or same four teams every year. It usually played in the United Center, but it's a neutral site game. Michigan State has not looked that good recently, especially with the loss of James Madison, and they haven't been shooting the three well. I think they've only made three threes all year so far after three games, or after two games. So
two games, yeah.
I think they're like 3 for 32 or something like that, because I know they were 1 for 20 against James Madison. They only made 1 out of 20 three-point shots. So their 3-point shooting's not been that good. But I don't know. Izzo's a great coach, so you never know. But I think I like Duke in the bounce back game. I think Filipowski is going to be a lot to handle for a guy like Xavier Booker, who's a freshman for Michigan State. So I like Duke in this one.
Yeah, I do too. What's up with James Madison this year in just college sports? They have an undefeated football team. They upset Michigan State.
Yeah, now they're ranked in the AP top 25 for college basketball, and a lot of people really didn't have them on the radar for basketball this year.
I guess we just should just put James Madison on the radar in general.
I guess.
For collegiate sports.
Having a good athletic year for sure.
Yeah, good for them. So yeah, that game tips off here while we're recording in 30 minutes. I'm going to also go with the Duke Blue Devils. A team I don't know much about going into this season is the Kentucky Wildcats. Right now they're number 17 in the country. They're going to be taking on Kansas, who are number one for a reason. You talked about Hunter Dickinson. He's there now. Yeah. Obviously is a huge addition to this team, but I feel like he still can't count out Kentucky in this one.
No, you know, Kentucky, they're another team kind of like Duke. Brought in a lot of good freshmen. I think Kentucky got three of the top five freshmen coming in this year, but they also brought some talent back. Antonio Reeves, one of their top scorers last year, is back. I think he's averaging like 16 points a game already this year. And then you also bring in a transfer in like Trey Mitchell. He's a senior guy. So, but guys like DJ Wagner, Justin Edwards, those are their two big freshmen in Kentucky. So I think I, I'm I'm really kind of disappointed that this game's not going off first, because I think it's going to be a little bit better. Because I want to see how Kentucky matches up with a team like Kansas, a very experienced Kansas team with Hunter Dickinson. But yeah, Kentucky's really deep. I like them. I actually think they're going to pull away and win this one, because Kansas kind of, they're a really good team, have a really good starting five, but their depth is a little bit of an issue. You know, that was an issue going into this year. So I think Kentucky has more of the depth, which is going to get it done.
Yeah, and especially in these early non-conference matchups, I don't take rankings into consideration. I would have to agree with you. For some reason, something's telling me Kentucky's going to pull out on top, but it's definitely going to be a highly competitive matchup. It's exciting to have these matchups too in non-conference play, because a lot of teams just schedule inferior opponents, but this one, obviously, you got two top 25 teams, two blue bloods, you know, four blue bloods in this Champions Classic, so good television for us tonight. But the people listening back, you'll find out if we're right or wrong, because you're living in the past. So, yeah, anything else coming up that has your eye, or other than Indiana maybe against UConn on Sunday?
The rest of the week is pretty quiet, just because next week, you know, is the feast week. You have Maui, you have the Bahamas, a lot of those tournaments, the tournament that IU's in at Madison Square Garden. So there's a lot of tournaments starting on Sunday and Monday of next week going through Thanksgiving. So for the rest of the week, there's really not too much to talk about, just because there's a very loaded next week.
So expect an episode in 2 weeks recapping all of that action happens next week. And hopefully we got our stats being fed in by Josh Deacon, and maybe Aaron will decide to make an appearance. Do you even know what Aaron had going on tonight, or was he just being secretive about everything, not making the show?
It was probably his dinner time. He's like, oh, I eat at like 5:30. I can't do the show then.
That's late for them. I thought they usually are eating at like 4:30.
They're early eaters. That's for sure. They eat at like 5 o'clock, like 4:30, 5 o'clock every day.
Breaking news to the people listening, if you're a yearly listener, Aaron is now a married man. He finally tied the knot. We got to enjoy that wedding. So shout out to Aaron, I guess, for getting married, but not being able to show up to his one podcast that he's a part of. But nonetheless, Nickel, we talked about it being a shorter show, not much going on at the beginning of the year. So let's wrap things up with our power rankings. Obviously, only a couple games into the season, so these might change, but I'll let you go first. We're going to go from 5 to 1. Give me your top teams as of right now.
So 5, I'm going to go with the Houston Cougars. You know, this is a team really hasn't played anybody yet, but they are a very good offensive team. Even better than last year, I'm thinking. LJ Cryer, he came over from Baylor. I think they're a top 5 team right now, just what I've been seeing so far. 4, I'm going to go Tennessee. You know, Tennessee is a team that a lot of people have been talking, you know, about the last 3 years, but I think this is the year they finally break out of their offensive shell, especially with Dalton Kennett coming over from Northern Colorado. That kid, he's been a lights out so far. He's averaging 21.5 points per game for them. Had 24 when they played Wisconsin this past Friday. That's another one we really didn't talk about, but, you know, Tennessee went into Wisconsin, beat them by 10. So I really like Tennessee this year. 3, I'm going to go Arizona. You know, they go in the Cameron, beat Duke. You know, I think that really shows that they're a top 5 team for sure. And then 2, I'm going to go Kansas, just because, you know, like I said, I'm kind of worried about their depth. I like their starting 5, though. I think Hunter Dickinson's going to put them to another top level. But I think Purdue's going to be better as I see things right now. You know, they beat Xavier last night. Xavier's not an easy team to beat. You know, Purdue pretty much brings back everybody from last year that is worth a damn. So,
yeah,
I like Purdue as my number one team right now. Hate to say it.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because we might be in agreement on that one. But number 5 might surprise some people. I have the Baylor Bears, who are 3-0 to start off the year. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter who is at Baylor. They find ways to win. I feel like they're going to be a tough opponent there in the Big 12 going into this season. So I got them at number 5 right now. At number 4, the defending champions, the UConn Huskies. We talked about them enough. You know what they're about. That's why I still think they're a top 5 team. But if they lose to Indiana, they're not sniffing the top 5. That's for damn sure. At number three, Arizona. We talked about that as well. Went into Duke, picked up the win. That's arguably the best win so far of the college basketball season, so they have to be in the top five. At number two, I have the Kansas Jayhawks. Obviously, they can move as well if they do lose to Kentucky tonight, but their roster speaks for themselves. And at number one, like I said, I'm in agreement with you. Unfortunately, or maybe it's fortunate, because I feel like last year we put Purdue at number one many of times,
yeah,
and they ended up losing to a 16 seed. So not saying that's going to happen, but from what I've seen, I definitely think Purdue is the best team in college basketball right now. And obviously it is very early to be saying that, but it's episode number one, and we got to do it because that's what we do. But other than that, Nickel, I think that pretty much wraps things up, unless you got anything else you want to talk about.
No, like I said, it's going to be a busy week next week with college basketball. So, we'll probably talk a lot more in a couple weeks. College basketball's back. Gets me through the winter, so I'm kind of excited. But I feel like it's going to be a long season for IU fans once again. So that's the only bad thing.
For the six seasons that we have been doing this show, it has been, you know, rough.
I actually have a stat about that. So last 6 years, you reminded me of that, but very gross stat. So KenPom, 63 different college basketball teams have finished in the top 25 in KenPom at the end of the year since the 2017 season. IU's not one of those 63 teams.
IU hasn't been in the top 25 in KenPom at the end of the year in the last 6 years.
In the last 6 years, yep. And 63 other teams have.
That's yeah. And I'm sure there's some mid-majors on there.
Oh, for sure. They started last year as 15th in KenPom, but they finished, I think, at 32 last
year.
Right. So they were still outside the top 25, they were projected to be in the top 25 at the beginning of the year. So, yeah, since we were seniors at IU, that was the last time they finished top 25 in KenPom.
Jeez.
So it's been almost 8 years.
And it's crazy to think we had arguably one of the greatest Hoosiers of all time on the team last year, who now plays for the Golden State Warriors. So Shout out to Trace Jackson Davis. But I want to thank everybody for listening. Going forth this year, every episode is going to be uploaded on Podomatic. So I will share those links on Facebook and on our Twitter. Our Twitter is the only place you can find us if you're not on YouTube, and that is March2_Madness. So don't forget to follow us there and make sure you're subscribed to us on YouTube. You'll see the links once you go to Twitter. And we will talk to you next time as our March to Madness continues.